Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. From local news to what is going on around the state of Wisconsin, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation every single day. I'm having a great conversation this afternoon with UW Law Professor Bill Whitford. If you want to join the conversation with Bill and I, you've got questions about gerrymandering. Where do things stand now? What is the law in all of this? We're going to answer each of those. But if you've got questions, Bill and I will help to answer them. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Comments welcome as well. So, Bill, we are talking about the packing and the cracking, the fact that the maps that came out of the 2010 census here in the state of Wisconsin were potentially the most partisan maps that we have ever seen in the United States, and that it basically diluted or wasted votes of Democrats so that Republicans retained control over state government for many, many years, despite the fact that the majority of Wisconsinites were actually voting for Democrats in their Assembly and Senate races. So y'all brought a lawsuit. You raised equal protection claims under the 14th Amendment. It got all the way up to the Supreme Court. And then what happened? Did the Supreme Court give us some guidance on how partisan is too partisan?
No, I should mention that we won in the lower court, which is called the district court. And
yes.
It was the first time any federal court had declared state apportionment unconstitutional as excessively partisan. In the Supreme Court, the argument was October 27. They didn't decide it until June 2018. And at that point, they basically sent the case back to the district court on a technicality for more proceedings, which happened. But while those proceedings were going on, another case that raised a similar claim out of North Carolina was decided by the Supreme Court. At that time, Justice Kennedy had retired and he'd been replaced by Brett Kavanaugh. So our key swing vote wasn't there. And Supreme Court decided 5-4 that basically the federal constitution sets no boundaries on the degree of partisanship in legislative apportionment, no regulation of gerrymandering under the U.S. Constitution.
So just to summarize, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, Bill, you have here in the state of Wisconsin, dating from the 2010 census, we had a federal case that finally was filed in 2016. It was heard. It eventually went up to the Supreme Court. And the question before the court was, can you have such an extreme partisan gerrymander with outcomes where less than half of the people are voting for Republicans and yet 60%+ of the seats are going to Republicans, where we have absolutely trashed the principle of one person, one vote, finally gets all the way to the Supreme Court and they go, technicality, go back down to court. And then the next case they hear on a similar set of issues, they say, the federal constitution says nothing about this. Am I getting that basically right?
That's right.
Well, where the heck did that leave Wisconsinites?
Well, we had no option. As I mentioned, we brought the case because there was no political option for getting rid of the gerrymander. We're now in 2018. The Democrats were able to win the governorship, but you couldn't change the legislative representation without an act of the legislature.
Which they weren't going to do.
So basically there was nothing to do. And electing a governor, Tony Evers, was important because he could veto stuff.
Yes.
But he couldn't change the apportionment. What happened next is the 2020 census under those principles we haven't discussed. But after each census, each state is required to reapportion.
Redraw their maps.
To be sure that the populations of each district are more or less the same. And Evers was able to veto the next version of the Republican gerrymander, which was enacted by the legislature. And that sent it to the state Supreme Court to decide what the maps would be during the current decade. State Supreme Court was then controlled famously by four conservatives. And they basically put in place the Republican legislative maps that Evers had vetoed. In a sense, they negated the governor's veto power. So we continued with an apportionment, bipartisan apportionment, a little bit different, but not a lot, through the 2022 elections.
So we've now got better-ish maps. We just went through an election cycle. I think a couple of things that jump out to me are these. One is when you see...
Well, we should talk about how we got them. Can
yes.
I do that?
Yes, please, Bill. Go ahead.
So what happened after 2022 is there was a change in the state Supreme Court. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution decision that prevented a state Supreme Court from
right.
putting boundaries on the degree of partisanship. And my group, I shouldn't call them my people, held back suing in the state Supreme Court as long as there was that 4-3 Republican
majority
or conservative majority up there. But then there was the key state Supreme Court election in 2023 that elected Justice Protasiewicz and established a 4-person progressive majority up there. And so we filed that state court case immediately. I wasn't the named plaintiff in the next case, but it went up to state Supreme Court and they decided 4-3 to throw out the maps. They did so not on the grounds that the state constitution establishes constitutional boundaries on the degree of partisanship, but on a technicality. But that threw out the map and they insisted that a new map be fair. And that's the map that the 24 elections...
And that the governor ultimately signed. And that's what we ran this last cycle
that's
with
right.
those maps. Just as a refresher, before the 2020 census, still under the old maps, again, which came from the 2010 census, in 2018, the state assembly races saw 54% of the votes cast in the state of Wisconsin got cast for Democratic assembly candidates. And yet... Republicans maintained their 63-seat, almost veto-proof supermajority, and it hasn't been until this last election cycle. So in 2024 is how long it's taken us, after 2010, to get to fairer maps. Now, with these maps in place, Bill, how do you view the outcome of this last election?
Well, of course, I was disappointed in the presidential result, but it wasn't a disaster for Democrats in Wisconsin. The new maps provide for a great number of contestable state legislative seats, ones that either party could win. In the state Senate, the Democrats, there were 5 such seats out of the 16 races in the state Senate. Democrats won all 5, and the result was a 4-seat pickup in the state legislature. The margin in state Senate is only half the seats were up, so there was no possibility of getting a Democratic majority, but the margin's down to 18-15, and if Democrats can pick up 2 more seats in 2026 when the other half of the state Senate seats are up, they'll have a majority. In the Assembly, it wasn't as successful. The contestable seats, there were 10 to 12 of them, were split more or less 50-50. And the Democrats picked up 10 seats in the state assembly, but ended up with 45, where it requires 50 for a majority. So we're 5 seats short.
This gets me to what I think is the two most important questions. And the first question is, why should every single voter, no matter what party you may more frequently align with, why should every single voter want less partisan gerrymandering or to have more of an independent redistricting committee approach? Why is this bad, highly partisan gerrymandering? Why is that bad for every voter?
Well, it creates non-majoritarian government or unrepresentative government, as you said. And I say this, the state Supreme Court did not establish a precedent that were boundaries on degree of partisan gerrymandering. In 2030, there's going to be
another census.
A census. In 2031, there's going to be another reapportionment. If the Republicans control everything, as they did in 2011, they'll do another partisan gerrymander.
And the same could be true if it was all Democrats.
That's right. So, you know, big picture, very big picture, a constitutional mistake made really from the founding of the Republic was to leave the question of how to draw district lines to very interested parties in the state legislature. It should be taken away from the state legislature to people who will act in a
more neutral way.
More principled, less self-interested way.
It's the ultimate conflict of interest.
Yes.
To draw the legislative boundary lines that you yourself will then run under, why wouldn't someone, all else being equal, give themselves an advantage, make it easier to win? But the result, as we've been saying, Bill, for every voter, is more extreme government. And we know every time we ask voters, do you want to see more working across the aisle? You want to see more cooperation, more bipartisanship? Voters say, yes, I want more of that. And yet the extreme partisan gerrymander, which neither the U.S. Supreme Court has said they can't weigh in on, and our state Supreme Court has failed to weigh in on, works to exactly the opposite effect. It makes less accountable elected officials for both Republicans and Democrats.
And it's very consequential. As you may know, there's been a book written about this last decade or so in Wisconsin called The Fall in Wisconsin by Dan Kaufman, a Madison guy, by the way. And it's all about how under Walker and this Republican legislature, they undercut all Wisconsin's, or many of Wisconsin's progressive traditions.
Well, and even my argument is really much fundamentally very basic. And that is, when you partisan gerrymander at this level, the democratically drawn districts are far more left and the Republican drawn districts are far more right.
That's right. The only election that matters is the primary.
Yes.
The only election that matters is the primary.
And that's for all of us. We keep saying we want our elected officials to work together to get stuff done that works for the great majority of us. And we're setting up a system, a constitutional mistake, as you put it, Bill, that simply metastasizes and repeats this pattern over and over again. I'm going to ask, when we come back, we're going to take care of a little bit of business here, but let's get into this question just a bit, and then we'll continue to talk about it. Are we still vulnerable? We've talked about the fact that the federal Supreme Court won't do anything. The state Supreme Court has yet to do anything. Are we still vulnerable to this extremist political outcomes through this gerrymander after the 2030 census? What do you think, Bill? Are we still vulnerable?
Oh, we are definitely vulnerable. We can hope in the 2030 election the Democrats either win the governorship or a majority in one of the houses. That'll be enough to prevent what's called a trifecta, which is what produces a partisan gerrymander.
And it's not, again, to anyone's best interest, even for the ruby red. If you're a Republican or someone who leans on the conservative edge, you still want a responsive elected official who feels that they need to address your concerns when you give them a call. If they know, gosh darn well, they don't really need to worry about any competition, it makes, even if you're a Republican, your elected representatives less likely to care about what you need.
And we should hope that a lot of the citizens out there believe, regardless of their partisan inclinations, in the idea of majority government. Isn't that what we were all taught, what the American Revolution was about?
That our systems, our election process should not only work, but that the outcomes should produce a representative government.
That's right.
What a novel concept, it seems, and yet that was the original intent of the Founding Fathers and
read
the framers.
Read the Declaration of Independence.
Yes. One person, one vote. When we come back, I'm going to talk more with UW Law Professor about what does this all mean today? How confident is Bill in the rule of law in the country? What does he expect from the next Trump administration? We'll talk about all of that, take some of your comments and thoughts when we come back, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back in just a moment.